This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Event, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here's your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to your home for everything modern day wrestling, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. I'm your host, Scott Criscolo. We have a great show for you tonight. We have a great panel, a couple of core fours, couple returning, one of them from way far away, and a couple of awesome special guests. We are on the fortnight, about 72 hours or 48, depending on when you're listening, from our next pay-per-view extravaganza, and that being Extreme Rules, taking place this Sunday from Steve Willey's backyard, sort of, Allstate Arena in suburban Chicago. And I suppose at this point, they don't really have to do pay-per-views, one pay-per-view a year in Chicago anymore, because the guy that was really meant for is not there anymore. They still get good crowds anyway. But let's bring in, and we'll talk about that show tonight, and the eight matches, one on the pre-show and seven on the main show, including one match that may happen, may not happen, and it might be one of the most unusual injury situations in the history of WWE, if not the history of professional wrestling, because we really don't know what's going on. And we're going to break that down tonight because it's perplexing. Is it fake? Is it not fake? Is it really an injury? Is it too long? Is it too short? Who knows? Let's bring in our crew. Let's start with two of the core four. The conscience of Place to Be Nation, Mr. Steve Willey. Welcome back, Steve.
Thank you for having me. I'm very much distracted by the Milwaukee Bucks Chicago Bulls halftime show, which seems to be a half-naked Irish leprechaun standing on a giant stack of chairs. I'm not making that up.
That's very interesting. And I'm guessing the Bucks are losing.
No, up by four at the half.
Wow, there we go. What do you think of the new color change?
The Cream City Brick of Milwaukee, which I've yet to see Cream City Brick in Milwaukee, but they tell me it's a thing. Mm. But I actually like it a lot better than the current one that they have.
Mm. I kind of like it's a little more old school, like the Oscar Robertson years. Steve,
exactly.
Pleasure. Returning from beating Yao Ming one-on-one and then not being allowed to go to Japan for his slated 90-minute Iron Man match with Tatsumi Fujinami, Mr. Jordan Duncan. Welcome back.
It was actually Genichiro Tenryu that I was supposed to face, but...
No, it was actually Fred Katao.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, I'm back. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's good to have you back.
Thank you,
sir.
Glad
you didn't bring any weird diseases back or any strange...
Well, I've only been back for a couple weeks, so there's still plenty of time.
If you start throwing up like Stephanie McMahon after she had her bad smoothie, then we're all in a lot of trouble. JD, good to have you back.
Thanks.
Two special guests tonight. Let's go down south, down Tobacco Road, to a placebnation.com social media head. He pimps all our great stuff for us. He's been on Main Event before. One of my favorite people, Mr. Jason Greenhouse. Greeny, welcome back.
What's up, man? You are such a swell guy when your baseball team wins 11 games in a row. You know that?
Yes. But I was a swell guy before that. I just didn't talk about them as much on Facebook. No one noticed. So anyway, Greeny, good to have you.
Thanks for having me back.
Big series this weekend. Big series.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
I am looking forward to it as well. I'll be going tomorrow night. And finally, for the second consecutive show, my PIC joins us. He is, of course, my co-host on the Place to Be podcast, which will be back next week. He is the producer and co-host of The Kevin Kelly Show. Had a great episode this past Monday. Mr. Justin Rosero. Welcome back, JR.
Place de la Nación. Welcome to the Place to Be podcast, episode 371, the Cornucopia. Fun and games, our headlines edition here, previewing Extreme Rules.
Yes, that's right.
I wonder how many Tony Ferreira's comments when you need them.
How many people would notice if we just like doubled up on all the main events that I'm on?
Hey, guys, I've got some half-baked ideas if you want to hear them.
Where's Drake and Rockwell?
Well, I mean, what if we just like took the same episode and had your open for main event, and then the same episode and had my open and just call it PCB with the same exact thing, and we'll just pad our stats, you know?
Pretty much, exactly. We'll get to 400 a lot faster than the pace we could be going at now. JR, pleasure. Gentlemen, we're in Chicago Sunday night for Extreme Rules. 8 matches on the card. We've got 1 pre-show match and 7 on the regular show. We have, 5 title matches. One of the title matches is the one on the pre-show. And we have a steel cage match for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Let's see, we got a few other stipulations and gimmicks for the evening. I did not watch Raw this week, but Greeny, of what you've watched since WrestleMania, holding pattern, is the 3 hours still bad? What have you, from what you've watched since WrestleMania, what are your thoughts on how Raw has been since?
It's been solid. The past 2 weeks, I really enjoyed the show from England. And this past week, I know you didn't watch, but the stuff with Orton going around, RKO and anybody that comes in his way, really entertaining stuff. They're stretching storylines like that out to make the 3 hours go by fast. Some of it has just been a lot of fluff, but for the most part, it's been tolerable. Somehow they need to go back to 2 hours though. In general, it's not, this little hot streak that they're on, it's not going to last.
Mm. And we were talking before the show, and JR, you and I talked about this on our show when it first went to 3 hours. They had such a great opportunity to really use the extra time to their advantage. This is pre-network. I mean, we were talking about this, you know, when the 3 hours started. Jesus, what, 2 years ago? Iron Man matches, gauntlets, you know, promoting a big match between 9 and 10, you know, going into the 9 to the 10 o'clock hour at like 8. They're not doing that. They just took 2 hours and just added an hour and didn't do anything with it for, you know, in terms of the format. I don't understand why. I mean, they have all these athletes that could put on long matches.
But that's the problem, you know? Right? I mean, that's the issue, because they have to fill so much time. These guys are all getting overexposed. We've seen the matches now so many times. And even matches that are considered dream feuds or, you know, matches we really want to see, we've probably already seen it. I can even tell you. I mean, you know, oh, I want to see Dolph Ziggler, Seth Rollins. I had no idea. Maybe they fought 7 times last year. But it's all a blur at this point,
right?
Because it's just so much TV. It's so hard to keep up with. The 3 hour thing is not going to go away because USA is paying for it. And the ratings are still decent enough to make it pretty highly rated. But, I mean, you can't not – I don't think anyone can sit here and say that 3 hours – well, maybe that's one guy we can think of. But that 3 hours is a great you know, or a positive for the company at this point. Unless SmackDown goes away, which I don't think that's happening either, obviously, because that's moving to USA. But 5 hours of first-run TV, not even counting superstars, that's on the network as well, is just a lot. It's just a lot to keep up with. So unless you significantly increase your roster – or better tier the divisions somehow. Like, what if they made some kind of in between NXT and the main roster division that you're past NXT, but you're not quite in big time matches yet. And that's like the first hour Raw. It's kind of like the new guys coming up and they almost battle over whatever title, or, you know, or maybe you go back to the cruiserweight idea that was batted around last year, where the first hour was just the cruiserweights battle in specific. I just feel like if you had it a little bit more tiered, where you're not seeing the main guys across 3 hours and having to fill all that time, it'd be a little bit better.
I think that's fantastic. Good.
And building on that point, some of the guys who are most over since WrestleMania are some of the newer people with or newer gimmicks.
We haven't seen forever. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, like Lucha Dragons.
Lucha Dragons and Neville.
Neville and, you know, Cesaro and Kid, for example, are fairly new and fresh over the last few months. And Sheamus coming back too is getting a lot of. I've really enjoyed him since he's come back.
Yeah,
the crowd is really on him as well.
Yeah, No, what I've seen of Sheamus, I finally got what I wanted after saying it for so long. He's just a better heel.
So what do you guys think if they did the brand split? Like, I know everyone keeps saying the roster's too thin to do it, but I would argue that maybe it would actually help eliminate some of the staleness if you had just guys on Raw, guys on SmackDown. You know, Raw is long enough as it is, if you just at least limit the guys to just that show. Or what if you even did 2 hours of Raw is one brand, 2 hours of SmackDown is the other brand, and the third hour of Raw is like a super show where you have interpromotional matches. You could even do something like that. Mm.
But I would definitely keep one belt, one title, though. I wouldn't re-split
the
belts
again. Don't split the pay-per-views. Don't do any of that. But just make guys exclusive to those shows. So, especially, maybe they do it when they move to USA. You know, so you're all on the same network. You're not fishing around looking for it. It's not really separated, but you're only seeing guys exclusive to that night. And 1 hour a week is the super show where we have three interpromotional matches that are hyped up for the week.
Right. No, I like that idea a lot. I like the cruiser idea, taking the first hour. Because remember, we heard like a month ago that they were gonna have even more 2 hour NXT shows, and we're like, no, don't do that. leave NXT alone.
Who would be the cruiser division? Because I mean, think about the roster, like who they use now. A lot of guys would qualify. I mean, wrestlers aren't as big as they used to be. It almost seems like a lot of the guys in there could be in that cruiserweight division.
Maybe you don't make it even cruiserweight. Maybe just, I don't know, welterweight, whatever you want to call it. Not even weight-based, but I'm thinking it's more like tier-based, right? So rookie division, something like that, however you want to term it. And I think Ben Morris has made this point before that you can't make it seem second rate or else USA is not going to want it. So you get a title at something, but whatever, you know, fresh faces division, whatever you want to call it, that hour would focus
on that. Like Ring of Honor and Chikara and stuff, they have stuff like that. Like Chikara, is it the Young Lions Cup, Steve?
Yeah, the Young Lions Cup.
Yeah, you know, and Ring of Honor has stuff like that. And, you know, a division, like you're saying, Justin, for the untested guys, the newer guys, you know. And after they've been there X amount of time, they're phased out, you know?
Right.
Mm. Not phased out of the show, out of that division.
Yeah. Right. It's moved up or down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't see it having to do anything to do with revenue. I mean, is that extra hour Raw making that big a difference? I mean, is USA just not have any faith in their programming? I mean,
well, no, but I think it's going to draw better than most stuff they put in there, right?
Universe Evil.
Yeah. But what was it? Not Midnight Blue. What was another show?
Pacific Blue.
There you go.
No, it does. It does. I think that third hour Raw, as bad as we say it is, it does outdraw anything else they're going to put on there.
Yeah. Right. This is, again, three plus million viewers to that.
Well, I think we were saying this in our chat. I think the only thing in cable that beats it is the Big Bang Theory reruns on TBS.
Yeah.
You know, and playoff games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right.
And when we get to the fall, it seems like there's some fairly decent Monday Night Football matchups this year. So we'll see because you know, there for some reason Vince feels that's like his ultimate thing. We need to be, and he's never going to. So I don't know why he ever thinks. No. Even in the Attitude Era, he didn't.
Even shit football games. I mean, even if the schedule's good, unless they're like legit blowouts and people flip away. I mean, even if it's whatever, Rams, Cardinals, people are going to watch that no matter what. I mean, just fantasy gambling is so big now. It doesn't matter if it's a crappy game. No. You're watching Titans, Jaguars, because you might have three guys. Unlikely you're going to have Jaguars in your fantasy team, but you know what I mean.
if so, you don't really care about your fantasy team.
Right. Yes. Either you're really good or you're not good at all if you have guys from the Jaguars on your team. But whatever, you know what I'm saying. There's money involved in some way.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, we're going to keep monitoring it because, I mean, Triple H said it on the cast with Austin last year. You know, 3 hours is too much. He admitted it. Everybody heard it. So it wasn't like it was something he didn't sugarcoat. He didn't give a Vince-ish answer. He pretty much said it's too long, too much writing. So we'll see what happens. All right, let's dive into the card, and we'll break down other topics as we go match to match. Let's start with the pre-show match, which is also our first title match of the evening for the WWE Tag Team Championships, your champions, the awesome Tyson Kidd and Cesaro, taking on the new heels, the New Day. What do you think of this switch, Willie? Does it seem like Tyson Kidd and Cesaro are being shifted as baby faces? Is this just to have two good teams on the card? What do you think here?
Boy, I'm glad you asked me this first. I want to go to the New Day first because, you know, I've heard things on this show when I was not here. Mm-hmm. And I've heard things on Twitter about this. I think that the WWE has been masterful in booking the New Day because they always meant them to be heels. Mm-hmm. And this has been going on since before WrestleMania. There are people who are not be named who are saying that we should all be cheering them. They've been pounding the mat three times to get the crowd to say New Day sucks for months now. They have always been meant to be heels. Cesaro and Kid are getting face pops, but they're still heels. They will be faces in Chicago big time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because that's that kind of crowd it is, and they will be all over New Day. So in terms
and that
of
was the... by design, right, Steve? Wasn't that the story this week that the reason they didn't have the Lucha Dragons win that match is because they want Cesaro Kid to be tested as faces?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And they will be a super over in Chicago.
Yeah. So, no, they definitely will.
Yeah, and then New Day will be everyone will be on them. So it has been. It was just from the very beginning the skits were so over the top hokey. Their dancing was so over the top hokey. You know, this has been planned all along to get the crowd to turn on them, and that's what they've been trying to do is manipulate the crowd.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like a poor man's like Kurt Angle from like 1999, where it's so over the top good that they're trying to get you to go bad.
Yeah, exactly. Do they win the titles, Steve?
Oh God, no. There's no no because as much as they are trying to manipulate the crowd. And the crowd is chanting New Day sucks. They are not over at all and just do not look good together.
Okay. So Kid and Cesaro retain. All right. What do you think, JD?
I agree with a lot of what Steve said. I think it's all designed. I think it's actually really interesting to me because I've said on this show a few times for all the complaints people make about John Cena, Kofi Kingston times a million. So to finally see Kofi Kingston be a heel is about as fresh as you can make that character. So I'm interested in the moment where they actually snap and officially turn. Now they're starting to do some heel tactics. Like on Monday, it was actually kind of funny. Xavier Woods hid under the ring and held, was it Kalisto's feet or Sin Cara's feet?
Yeah.
It was kind of funny because he's hiding under the ring. But I'm waiting for the moment because in some of their interviews, they've been talking about how it hurts to hear the fans say stuff like that. And I really want to see what they do as heels. I want to see Big E just kind of snap and just be a monster. I want to see what Kofi Kingston does as a heel because he's got to change up his style. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I want to see if he's capable of doing that. It's interesting. I think Xavier Woods, I remember him from his TNA days. I think he can be the mouthpiece. So could Big E. And they could just kind of hide Kofi. I'm actually looking forward to the New Day, believe it or not. The match itself, it'll be fine. I'm more interested in, you know, the next week or the next 2 weeks when they finally have that official snap and kill somebody. And I don't know who it's going to be. Maybe it will be the Lucha Dragons or something. But that's coming. I agree with Steve. I don't think they're going to win the title. And that might just further, you know, the story they're telling here. So
I think the Luchas are going to win the titles eventually. And I think that's and they'd be the perfect victims, as you said, JD and Steve, for
the Ascension. Are you off that?
The who? Never heard of them. The new they're Southern Justice 2000. That's what.
So the booking of New Day is like our booking of Jordan, right? We just have him say and do as much stupid shit as possible, and finally get everyone to hate him. Is that,
yes.
That was the goal, right?
And then he just decides he doesn't need us and just does stupid things
on
his own.
I'm a beloved baby face for years, but the higher up just keep holding me down, and people stop caring about me.
Dance for me.
He's gonna puke. All right, let's get into the meat and potatoes of the card.
I didn't pick. I like Cesaro and Kid here.
Oh, okay. All right. And Greeny?
Same thing. I think that Cesaro and Kid and Lucha Dragons are going to be the tag team feud of the summer coming up.
Okay. I think Cesaro, I actually think they're set up for something decent because as much as we bag on Vince saying he wants to push his guys or whatever, I feel like when you do this kind of stuff where, and Scott, I think we talked about this a while ago, where you work hard, you get over, they bust your balls, don't push you, and kind of make you do something else, and you don't pout. And remember, we talked about this. How Cesaro went back to NXT, and they worked on tag maneuvers, and he could have pouted and or quit and walked and made a mint on the indie circuit or did whatever he wanted. But instead, him and Tyson went down to NXT or worked really hard on double team moves and getting themselves over. And I feel like Vince kind of respects the guys like that shut up and just do what they got to do. And now they've gotten themselves back over again. And I think the European show seems to have opened some eyes. So I think they're in a good spot, Cesaro and Kid.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
To be protected and treated well going forward just because they've kept their mouth shut and worked hard. Mm.
I think that goes for even though he's been buried even lower because he digs the character. But I can almost put Cody Rhodes in that group as well. But sure. I don't know if he'll be if he can be real be rehabilitated. I'm sure he can be at some point.
I think they see
quick
Stardust.
Question on New Day.
Yeah.
Mm. Does Xavier Woods ever wrestle?
He did the other night, didn't he?
On Raw, it's been Kofi and Big E for a while.
Yeah, it's been Kofi and Big E. There was one show. I swear I looked up and it was him. Maybe it was a couple weeks ago on Raw. Kofi was on the outside, I thought.
Because I thought that would be a cool way they could do it, too, is kind of do like the three-man team if they do go heel, you know. You never
the Freebird rule.
The Freebird
rule. Freebird, yeah. The triads. Yeah, you know, just don't know which two you're going to get.
I know. Someone who pays more attention than me to Raw or SmackDown. Yeah. I could have swore I saw one match somewhere recently where it's Xavier. Because I remember being surprised that it was him in the ring.
Mm-hmm. Jersey Triad. What a great... Watching the 99 WCW shows right now, the Jersey Triad is one of the few highlights.
They were pretty good.
That summer 99 was just unbelievably brutal.
Yeah.
Guys turned face heel in the span of 4 weeks. Like Nash.
The summer of David Flair.
Yeah, I mean, yes. I mean like, you know.
And DDP, Samantha.
DDP.
Oh, my God.
DDP won the title at Spring Stampede as a face. The next month, he's a heel against Nash. And then Nash turns heel on Hogan. It's like every month, everybody like, you know, a domino to something. It was a mess. All right. Chicago Street Fight, or insert city you're in Street Fight, which they used to do as well in WCW. Chicago Street Fight, Dean Ambrose, who's everyone's number one contender, against Luke Harper. JD, I'll let you have this one first because he's your guy and you want to go on a 42-minute rant. So, we come out of Mania. Do you feel he's been kind of rehabilitated and fixed at all from WrestleMania to this point?
Which guy are you talking about? Ambrose or Harper?
The guy with the facial hair. No. The guy with the messed up hair. No.
The guy who wears the sleeveless.
Yeah. It's a sleeveless.
No, because my boy is Luke Harper. That's who you're talking about? Or were you talking about Dean Ambrose? I legitimately don't know.
No, I was actually talking about Ambrose, but you can talk about either. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I love Luke Harper. He's maybe, besides Brock, who's obviously not there all the time, I think Luke Harper's my favorite everyday guy who's always there. I just love watching him. I got to watch WrestleMania later than everybody, so I saw that powerbomb through the ladder a lot later than everybody, and it was still disgusting, by the way. Honestly, I feel bad since I'm on a show talking about wrestling. I don't know if they've rehabbed Dean Ambrose because I haven't really watched Raw for the past few weeks. Mm. I mean, I watch it here and there. I saw their brawl on Monday, and I think these are perfect guys to feud with each other. Because my thing on Dean Ambrose has been they never let him win the big match. He hasn't won a pay-per-view match since the Shield split. We're coming up on, I think, 10 months now since he's won. So I think I think the streak ends here. I think he's actually going to win. And I think it's against a guy that can afford to lose. Luke Harper is a guy that can be in a Dean Ambrose role where he doesn't ever really win. Does that make sense?
Mm.
You know, I think Dean Ambrose, right. they pegged him as a guy. Oh, we could have him lose. We could have him lose. And it didn't really work like that. He cooled off a lot with the fans. You know, you go back to last summer. He was bigger than Reigns. He was probably the hottest babyface last summer. He's still popular and people still like him, but it's definitely not as much as before. And I think they kind of pegged him as, well, he's crazy, so we can have him lose whenever we want. And they learned that they can't do that. And he's got to win here and there. And I think this is a feud that he can win, whereas Harper is a guy who can lose and still remain in the exact same spot on the card because he's not a legit threat to win a title, but he's that type of guy who comes out. He's going to have a good match. He's going to do some crazy stuff that makes you wince a little bit, and he's going to be effective. So he's a perfect guy to rehabilitate someone like Dean Ambrose. I think it's going to be a heck of a match, too. Mm. I almost am worried about him because these guys like seem like the type who might go out and hurt themselves doing something incredibly stupid that will look incredibly awesome.
Right, yeah. Kind of like when at Hell in a Cell when Ambrose and Rollins fell off the wall. Greeny, what do you think of this one?
I completely agree with what JD said with Harper being the guy who can lose every single feud. They need to start elevating some guys coming into Money in the Bank season. And I think that Ambrose's 10-month streak ends on Sunday. There's guys like him that they need to start getting hot for the summertime.
Mm. Yeah, I like Ambrose in this match too. JR?
I call this one the bang your head against the wall match because the potential is just staring WWE in the face with these guys.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're so deathly in need of new, like Greeny said, just new fresh talent being elevated, and not guys just to be elevated for a month or two, but just make new stars. And these are two guys that are willing to do whatever it takes, are very charismatic, connect well with the crowd. I mean, Luke Harper is really fucking good. And, you know, you had him in the angle with the Wyatts, which was really good. It got him over, got him established. And now he's just kind of meanders around doing nothing. And this is a guy you could be potentially building, you know, major divisions in your promotion around. It's just glaring because it just they lost their way a long time ago and don't seem to know how to find their way back out of the woods. And that's just what's killing them here. I think Ambrose wins this because he needs a win. And like you guys said, Harper can suffer the loss much easier and be fine. But I don't know how they can look at this match with straight faces and not realize, hey, these guys could actually be helping us make a lot more money than we're making now.
I mean, with Harper, like, you know, you can go back to TLC with him and Ziggler in the ladder match.
Yeah, it's the best match of the show.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, the match is crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Willie, what do you think?
I think this is going to be – this is the match I'm most excited to see. And this is kind of a random thing, but I have the WWE website up to look at the matches. The promo picture that they have of Ambrose and Harper.
I'm looking at guys, it right now.
They look good together. They look really good together as a tag team or a unit. That'd be kind of cool to see it on the line. I know it's just kind of a random thing. The weird thing with Harper over the last month or two is that he's been so dominant on Raw when he's been with Ambrose. And then I don't remember which week it was, but they jobbed him out in under 3 minutes to Ryback. Mm-hmm. Just utterly dominant, you know, like throwing Ambrose around these huge brawls. And yeah, just a guy that they don't, you know, it's a start and, you know, not at the same level of Ambrose starting and stopping, but a guy they don't seem to know what to do with, but he is a monster. He can, like Cesaro, can wrestle any style, could wrestle any type of opponent, big or small. Boy, they almost had that moment on Raw that I thought they were going to kill Ambrose off the stage.
Yep,
he just kind of left off
the
stage.
Yeah, it looked like he was getting, yeah.
If they're doing that on Raw, what are they going to be doing on the right. pay-per-view in front of a jacked crowd? So this is my pick for match of the night. I believe Ambrose will win also. Especially after Jordan pointed out the 10-month losing streak.
Yeah. I want to get back to something about Raw real quick or about the roster before we go to the next match. The night after Mania, we had Bonkers Brock doesn't get his title match. His face is all scabbed up and he pummels everybody. He pushes the announce table over. He F5s everybody. And then he leaves. JR... you're telling me, not you, but the truth is telling us that Brock's contract is that rigid that they couldn't call an audible and go, let's keep him around until at least Extreme Rules. Keep the crowd hot.
I think he would stay. I mean, if you want to use his dates then or buy additional dates, I don't think he gives a shit. I think he'd wrestle as much as you want him to if you pay him appropriately. What they're telling us is that they don't give a shit between now and SummerSlam. And that's what the next show they really care about is.
Exactly.
When they could have said, you know what? We are red hot. Mania did pretty well. We got a bunch of new subscriptions, we think. Ratings were up the night after Mania. Brock was hot. Bring him back the next week. See what happens. And then you could always write him off if you need to. You could always do the suspension thing at any time.
Anytime, exactly.
Burn him on a couple of shows and have him at Extreme Rules. And then maybe you go for the suspension. But why not try and stretch it out? And while you're doing that, put on a compelling show under him and see if anyone sticks around. Because they're not going to stick around past that night when it's clear he's getting suspended and the rest of the show was just kind of up and down. But if you deliver a month of saying, you know, really strong efforts and Brock on top and people sticking around, then maybe you get some people to stay in through the next couple shows.
Let me ask you a question. Do you guys think, you know, they had that really big number the night after Mania? Do you think that's because the night after Mania has become known as a hot show, or do you think that Brock's a legit ratings draw?
Both.
I think it's as much Brock as the Mania thing. Mm.
I turn in to watch him.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
He's come to that point that I turn in to watch him. He is the number one guy for me.
And he's proof of what Justin said at the beginning of the show. You know, Rollins and Ziggler. Hey, that's a heck of a match, but how many times have we seen it in the past year? With Brock, whoever he's in the ring with, it's new.
It's fresh. Right.
Yeah.
Except you know? Triple H.
Yeah, exactly.
And Cena. Yeah. That popped into my head, and I wanted to ask you, JR, because we've always talked about Brock, and And, I mean, he was scorching hot. And I can't imagine them saying, you know what, can you hang around for another few weeks? And he could go, all right, yeah, fine. And pay me later if you want, but, you know.
It's crazy. And, I mean, I haven't watched every minute of Raw, but it's like they aren't even mentioning him now.
No, I know. It's stupid.
You know, that's crazy.
And Heyman hasn't really been on, right?
I don't think. Yeah, no.
And JD's question, I think it is a little bit of both, too. But I think everyone knows the night after Mania is going to be crazy. Mm-hmm. But if you deliver a good show, I think people will come back. I think it's almost like a test night. You know, it's like, oh, you know, well, Mania was pretty good. Now, if Mania was awful and no one liked anything that came out of it and a guy like Brock wasn't around, I could see the rating not being as good.
Sure.
But I think most people know to tune in that night to see what crazy stuff happens. That dates back as far as like 98, you know, when X-Pac showed up and everything else. Mm-hmm. So that's always a night that they try and put over strong. But I do think that it's a good chance to deliver not a one-night show. If you look at Mania as the one-night show, like we always talk about now, it's the carnival thing. They want to pop a big number, bring back all the old-timers. The next night should be the focus on putting on a really good show that sets up the next month instead of being like an addendum to WrestleMania, which it is a lot of times. And the times they have made it that way have been successful, like Extreme Rules in 2012. They had Brock come back, beat the shit out of Cena, and that got everyone pumped up for the next month.
Right.
Yep.
Well, yeah, it's the postscript. It's a postscript to WrestleMania, and then you could almost hold Brock off of that show because you're going to have the hot crowd and then tease him for the next week to come back. So if you don't want to burn that appearance off, you know, send him back home. He doesn't want to do the travel that much. Bring him back a couple weeks later so you make it, you know, you can continue the streak.
Right? The key is, though, you really got to put forward that he's going to be there because he might piss people off to do tune in that night and say, all right, screw this. You know,
right. Yeah, because, I mean, how many people actually watch you know, WrestleMania or wrestling for the first time on WrestleMania Sunday, and they're like, oh, shit, this is really cool. Mm-hmm. Hell, I'll watch tomorrow night. Oh, okay, Brock's not here tonight, but he's going to be here next week. Maybe I'll tune in next week again. Yeah.
And the hardcore fans are there to see who's going to debut and what hot angle is going to start.
Who's coming back, who's turning face or heel. Right, exactly. Speaking of WrestleMania, the Golden Child is up next, or maybe he's kind of the dulled. Maybe he's the Bronze Child or the aluminum foil child now.
Eddie Murphy?
Roman. He's going to do a live version of Party All the Time in Russian with Rusev. He's going to stand on top of the tank and sing Party All the Time in Russian. Roman Reigns taking on the Big Show in my opinion, the most overused gimmick match ever. I think since 2010 there have been 406 last man standing matches. It seems like there's been at least one a year since like 2009, last man standing match. What does everyone think about Roman Reigns' status right now? Is this a demotion? What is a demotion? Like, do you have to be in the same spot all the time or else it's a demotion? Is that, you know, the label of that? Greeny, what do you think? Has Roman Reigns been demoted? Or is this just, you know, we got something else right now, so do this? Like, does where he fit on the card affect his standing with the company?
No, I don't think that that it's a demotion at all. I think that he's fine exactly where he is. Let me try and word this. He needs to try and get over organically a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And having him in a feud, you know, with Big Show or whoever, kind of like the semi-main event, it's perfect right now for him. That way you're not shoving him down people's throats. Plus, if you have him in the main event picture right now, too, Rollins is such a hot heel. You don't want people to start, you know,
rooting for Rollins.
right. Rooting for Rollins. And that, you know, just because people don't want to see Reigns in the main event picture.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, JD?
I think a lot of what Greeny said is right. And I think it would have been a mistake to keep Reigns in the title picture right after Mania because, you know, with Rollins just winning it. The problem is that it's the Big Show to me, you know? And that's why it feels like a demotion. That's why it feels like, to me, I think it's just lazy. And maybe it's a disconnect with people in the company and the fans who watch the product is we don't see the Big Show the same way they seem to see the Big Show. You know, to us, he's played out, he's stale, he's done. And I think they see him as a viable threat. And that's the problem with it. You know, I think they've kind of fixed Reigns since really like from Fastlane on. I think they've done a good job with him. They've kind of undone. He's not as hot as he was. He's not, you know, the super over babyface. But people aren't like outright booing him out of the building. Of course, he's even in the ring with Brock Lesnar. He's going to get booed because he's the biggest babyface in the company. But they've kind of fixed how they treat him. But you put him out there with the Big Show, and it just – in a way, it doesn't matter because it's Big Show's just like death for any interest. You know what I mean?
Right. But with a guy like Big Show, who – you know, I mean, he's – you know, he's as big as he is, if you have Rollins doing the spear and doing the Superman punch of somebody his size, it's like, oh, shit, that's pretty cool. You know, he can knock out a 7'2", 500-pound guy. Imagine what he can do to somebody like Rollins or –
But
you know,
that goes back to what Justin says, though. He's already done that like 8 times.
Right,
you know?
Right,
How many times have we seen this match on Raw?
Yeah.
I mean, it's absurd.
What can salvage this match, JR, from being something watchable?
I mean, I think it can be good because they're both, you know, as played out as Big Show is, he still knows how to work a match, especially this kind. He knows how to build the drama. And Reigns is still good. He doesn't suck. So, I mean, the match can just be good on its own merit. It's just not anything that means anything because, you know, Reigns is probably going to win unless, oh, who knows, though, I guess.
Yeah,
it has
right?
it so far up the Big Show's ass at this point. But as far as Reigns' position on the card, I don't think it means or hurts anything, only because we already know what's been leaked for the next month, that he's probably going to be back in the title picture. Mm-hmm. You can't have him lose again right away. You might as well run Orton out there to play off his win at Mania and have Rollins beat him to get a win under his belt. So, if I'm them, I would keep Reigns out of the title picture for a while.
Yeah.
I would have the authority shout him down and be like, you're not getting any more title shots. You blew your chance. Screw you, buddy. We'll see you in November. Mm-hmm. And then let him build to a match with Triple H at SummerSlam. And then maybe that gets him back on track. I think in between now and then, I would have Rollins just run through a bunch of guys. I would have him fight Daniel Bryan if he's healthy. I'd have him fight Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler, Ryback. I mean, just let him go on a tour over the next few months of getting wins over these guys and build them up each month and go with the Shawn Michaels 96 style.
I was about to say that. I was about to refer that when you made that point.
A series of challengers or Austin and 98 or whoever, you know, just run some guys out there. We don't need guys getting seven
protracted
rematches.
Feuds.
Yeah. We don't need Randy Orton getting five shots. We don't need Payback to be Orton, Rollins, and Reigns, and then the next show to be Reigns and Rollins. Yeah, it's just mix it up a little bit. And I thought that's what they were going to do. Right, yeah.
3 months of Kane.
Yes. And this is
with
what I hope.
Different gimmicks.
This is what I thought maybe they'd do with Bryan last year. Obviously, they didn't get the chance, but just let him have good matches for the title on all these shows, and then you go from there, and then you set yourselves up for SummerSlam. Right.
To go back to something that I've been harping on for a while about Reigns, too, is that they need to finally just pull the trigger and change his look.
It's slowly happening.
Yeah.
It's very slowly happening.
Yeah. He's got a more streamlined vest and things like that.
Yeah, it's like a t-shirt, you know, with the straps over it.
He shouldn't cut his hair, though. The hair thing is, I think that seems very, very him. I don't know if that way. I think you'd make a completely different character.
Yeah, no, I think that's fine. It's more the vest and the shield.
The shield.
Yeah, the hair is fine. The hair
is fine. It's time to get rid of the
trunks
shield.
Trunks and knee pads. Yeah. You know.
Time to get rid of the shield look.
The thing that might make this match interesting, though, is how the crowd's going to respond to it. If you saw the assault that they did in London, the crowd had no idea how to react. And the London crowds are usually pretty hot, and they went from a couple minutes of chanting, "Thank you, Big Show," because they felt they were supposed to be booing Roman Reigns to please retire to Big Show. It was so surreal that just in a few they don't know who to cheer for.
I don't think it's hard to put a lot of faith in those crowds. I know they're doing it with Cesaro and Kid, but I don't know. I feel like that is not there enough to make snap judgments based on how they react, right?
Yeah. Like, I don't like how is the Chicago crowd going to react to Roman Reigns? Are they going to keep up the boo just to be snarky? But they don't like the Big Show either,
right?
So
this could be as Steve mentions that could be why they're doing this program.
Oh,
like,
I'm sure it
like
is.
They're just kind of daring us. Go ahead, cheer Big Show. Go ahead.
Right.
You know.
I think that's definitely a JD.
Yeah, I think that is too.
I think they're saying, "Fuck it. Here's the one guy we know Reigns can get cheered over."
But I will make. Speaking of the crowd, and I'll say this before we move on. I'm guessing we all believe Reigns is going. Do we all believe Reigns is going to win?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
I will say this before we move on to the next match. I predict. And we'll monitor it while we're on our live chat, which you can catch us on placebnation.com Sunday night. We will not have a CM Punk chant. Even during a boring part of a match.
We'll get one.
I think we'll get a weak one.
I think during the Diva match.
Yeah, during the Diva match, I was just going to say that.
diva match, or if they do like a segment where they cut to the pre-show panel again and talk for a few minutes, a few minutes of talk, things like that.
I'm thinking the diva. I'm thinking the diva match just to tie in with AJ. You know,
Freudian slip there. The diva shit. I mean
that stuff. JD, stop feeding lines to people. I don't think so. I just, for some reason, think everybody's over it, but we'll see. Speaking of the divas, that's our next match. The Divas Championship on the line. Your champion, somebody I thought has had it much longer than I thought she would, and that's Nikki Bella, takes on Naomi. Naomi won that number one contenders battle royal a couple weeks ago. Or was it last week? Last week. I don't see any reason why Nikki would lose. What do you think, Willie?
Well, Paige won. It was Paige won the royal, but
I mean, Paige won the royal.
Yeah, Naomi took her out.
Right.
I kind of like this. I'm kind of a believer of Naomi. I was going to say a big Naomi fan, but I felt I would get jumped on it for saying that.
Hang on, guys. I got to go unfriend Steve Willie on Facebook.
How does he see the four disc collection on Naomi?
44 disc collection? What?
Tickets playing basketball. $10 shipping included. That's right.
I like that they did. Well, the attack on Paige, first of all, was vicious that she did. And I do like that with, and I apologize for not remembering which Uso is going to be out for 6 months. I believe it's Jay that's injured for six
it's
months.
It's her Uso, whoever it is, right? Yeah. I think it's the one she's married to is the one.
Naomi's Uso.
That they decided to do something with her instead of just have her be eye candy for the Usos. So it was a pretty quick decision. And we're all over the Bellas, I think, except for Ben. And, you know, rest in peace, Ben, wherever you are.
Rest in peace.
Hopefully he's not in a concrete crypt.
Yeah.
Oh. Foreshadowing for next
Foreshadowing
week.
Next week on PoliceBNation.com. So is Nikki, are they treating her face? Does anyone give a shit crap? I mean.
Did anyone read the thing by Kevin Eck today? The former writer?
Yeah.
He wrote a blog saying,
"Yeah,
did I? Okay, I can't remember." But he had said that when he was there, the directive was basically that there's no faces or heels in the women's division. They're all just kind of catty bitches, and that's the direction they were given about it. And I think you see it in a lot of these feuds and matches. I mean, it kind of seeps through. And the Bellas have turned how many times now? Like, you know, Brie was face; they hated each other, and then they both heel, and now they're both face again.
More times over the past year than the Big Show has in his
entire
career.
Right? It's absurd. So,
Here's the actual quote from the article: it says it was strongly implied that the Divas are all just a bunch of catty chicks, most of whom are mentally unstable.
There you go.
Right. To which I believe I replied to in the effect of, as you know, as if the male wrestlers are like Mensa members. Right? And like,
wait, Dean Ambrose is going to be
Ambrose's number character. Is
yeah,
he fits right in with the Divas.
He's going to
be pillar of mental health.
Yeah, no, he was there a while. I don't remember when he was there, Kevin Eck. But he, so I don't know how long ago that directive was. So I don't know if it's changed at all. But.
Okay. Anybody think Naomi wins?
No.
Yeah.
Probably not, but it wouldn't shock me, I guess. I mean, it depends if Paige was earmarked to win here. You know, do they stick with the story or do they just keep it on Nikki? When's
so
the next
Paige,
Total Divas?
Is Paige hurt or something? Why did they do like the injury thing?
She's going to do a movie.
She's doing a movie with the same one that The Miz is doing, some ABC Family Christmas thing.
Marine 5.
Oh, yeah, speaking of movies, I want to ask JR this because JR always finds these movies on strange channels. Today, when I was watching Road Wild 99, DDP was fighting. How did he find that show? Benoit. They're talking about DDP's movie, which was premiering the next night on TBS. Do you remember what the movie was?
Ugh. I remember the movie. I don't remember what it was. And it's not the Shutterfly or whatever the hell the one Sting was in, right? That was Shutter Speed. Was that one Sting was in?
Shutterfly. Yes, he was creating picture collages.
All right, brother. I got to mail out these wedding invitations. Quick, get on Shutterfly.
Evil Evite. Does anybody remember? Anybody?
I ordered this poster bug, guys. It's great. Put my kids on it.
Need to make some refrigerator magnets. Anybody remember the movie? Anybody?
Devil's Island? Was that the one? Was that Hogan? That was Hogan.
That was Hogan.
Monroe or
anybody?
No.
First Daughter.
First what?
First Daughter.
Daughter.
Oh, that's right.
He plays a terrorist group in a terrorist group. And
they should have just had him be the president.
The sequel to First Kid.
Yes, that's why I thought of you. I think that's a sequel. That's a movie JR catches when he was, you know.
Ray Diamond gives Sinbad a diamond cutter. Wasn't Sinbad in First Kid?
Yes, yeah.
I hope.
He was, yeah. Probably better than First Daughter. There was a sequel, too. First something. I don't know. I saw it on Wikipedia. Anyway. All right. Next up, we go off the title matches to the Kiss My Arse match as my favorite heel now in the company, Sheamus, taking on Dolph Ziggler, who I can't see winning just because he's Dolph Ziggler. Greeny, your overall thoughts on Sheamus in his return and his heel turn?
I love it. I've been waiting for it as long as you have. Mm-hmm. I know you didn't watch on Monday. He fought Zack Ryder, of all people, and he was cutting a promo while wrestling, kind of like kind of like what Waller did back in like 95 and 96.
Nice.
Oh, so entertaining.
I'll have to check that out.
Oh, so good. Yeah, I see Sheamus winning. Or if not, I mean, if by chance Ziggler wins and then Sheamus jumps him after the match and Sheamus makes him kiss his ass that way.
Interesting. I could see Sheamus wins the next couple of shows, and I don't know if it would piss anybody off, but I could see Sheamus winning Money in the Bank.
Absolutely.
You know, what do you think, JR?
Yeah, I think he's going to win this match. Kevin and I talked about this Monday because he picked Dolph thinking, you know, the face kind of wins. He can't really see the heel win in a situation like that. But I think you have to. I can't imagine Sheamus losing so early on. So I think what Greeny said happens. I think he just kind of knocks him out and maybe drags him up and makes him kiss his ass that way. Like, I don't think Dolph will actually kiss his ass on his own. Either he'll fake it and attack him, or Sheamus will knock him cold and then drag his face up and make him kiss it or whatever. Mm-hmm. But
right.
If Sheamus loses, then I have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah, I don't either. JR, JD, Willie, your thoughts? Sheamus wins?
We'll go simultaneously?
All right. I know you asked
one. You asked all three.
I want them to both speak in stereo. That's what I want. While JR hums the first kid.
Steve, you want to do our Tatanka impression in stereo again?
All right, JD, go first.
Yeah, I think it's exactly like Justin was saying on the Kevin Kelly show, or Kevin said. It's not really a match that the babyface, you know, should lose, but Sheamus shouldn't lose either. So I wouldn't be surprised if they just kind of ignore it and ignore the stip completely. Like, not ignore it, but they talk about it, and then the match ends, and it just doesn't happen because they do that quite a bit.
Yes, they do.
So.
All right. Willie?
I think Sheamus is going to knock him out pretty much, and the whole storyline is that Sheamus is tired of all, you know, he's the big monster, he's the warrior, that he's tired of all these, you know, kind of quote-unquote little guys like Ziggler, Bryan being the fan favorites, and he's going to destroy all of the crowd's favorites, and this is just the start. So, in my opinion, the story says that they're telling says he has to win.
Yeah.
So I do disagree with Kevin on that one, and Ziggler loses all the time. So
I think what Kevin was saying is with that stipulation, that's not something that babyface loses, you know?
Right.
So.
Well, you know, JYD lost to Harley Race at WrestleMania 3 for some ridiculously weird reason and ended up looking good in the end anyway, so Lord only knows. All right, why don't we take a break here on the main event? We're about halfway through the card. When we come back, we got three more matches to discuss, including our enigmatic Intercontinental title match, whether it happens, it doesn't happen, there's a forfeit, who the hell knows. We have old-school NWA-style stipulation for our United States title match, and of course, a steel cage match for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. JR, JD, Willie, Greeny, myself, main event, back after this.
We start calling Greeny JG, just so he fits in with me and JR.
If his middle name is like Thomas, he could be JTG and have it even trickier than the other guy.
I should have it legally changed. It's Steven, but I should get it legally changed.
Steven with a silent T.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner, at least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to the Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes at placetobenation.com. You can check out myself as Scott Criscolo on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews, our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews, and WWE Network live watches. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you, including the Main Event, featuring a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, WrestleChat.net's Still Real to Us podcast with Jeff Peck, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on what we should be excited about in the world of wrestling today. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We feature The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, as well as the twice-weekly Bauer Show, The Kings of Sport, featuring live audio wrestling's godfather, Nate Milton, The Sports Lounge, hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Sr., often visited by special guests from inside the world of sports, as well as the NBA Team podcast with Adam Murray and Andrew Reich for the deep dive into the world of pro hoops. As mentioned, all of these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN is also the home to tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island and Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net for their support.
Chad, do you want your wrestling podcast to be informed by historical and analytical insight and by obsessive watching of footage from any era and any promotion and for them all to be available on one feed?
Sure do, Parv.
Chad, are you ready to shill?
I am, because I know you're talking about the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation Podcast Network.
Let's go through that again. PWOPTBN Podcast Network.
Got it. That's where you can listen to all sorts of different shows covering the history of pro wrestling in detail.
Shows like Titans of Wrestling with my boys Pete, the man of a 10,000 discs, and Kelly, the jobber lover.
I'm a jobber lover.
Pro Wrestling Super Show with Stephen Graham.
Join me, Stephen Graham.
The smash hit wrestling game show Brainbuster with
Johnny Sorrow.
We have a host of top contributors like wrestling historian Chris Zellner.
Hello, everyone. This is Chris Zellner here, starting a new podcast venture.
And the Pro Wrestling Only admins, the man who knows more about 90s wrestling than maybe anybody on earth, Charles, and good old Will from Texas.
This is Will, and I'm joined today by my good buddy Charles.
Whether it's the territories, WWF, NWA, Mid-South, Texas, Portland, tag team wrestling, Japanese wrestling, lucha, old school, new school, we got it.
And of course, the feed still has the mothership itself,
where the big boys play,
on which we continue our endless journey through WCW supercards.
PWO PTBN Podcast Network. It's pro wrestling only.
You know you want to hear it.
Regulators. You regulate any stealing of his property. We're damn good, too. But you can't be any geek off the street. Gotta be handy with the steel, if you know what I mean. Earn your keep.
Regulators! Mount up! It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warren G was on the streets, trying to consume some search for the E, so I could get some phones. Rolling in my ride, chilling all alone. Just hit the east side of the LBC.
And welcome back, Place to Be Nation, episode 32 of the Main Event. Scott Criscolo, Justin Rosero, Steve Willey, Jordan Duncan, Jason Greenhouse. PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. A very unique topic in the newest episode of Titans of Wrestling. Parv and the guys going way back in the vault, their vault, to NWA Western States Amarillo 1979. Wow. Dory Funk Sr. calling the shots there. So then we'll talk about that. Fascinating topic there. JR, you and I continuing to redo our written Vintage Vault refreshes, and we just posted WrestleMania 9. Seems so different than when we wrote it the last time, doesn't it? Totally.
Yeah, a little bit.
Completely different. So check that out. Joel Barnhart continuing to preview all the divisions in Major League Baseball. Today posted in the National League West, currently led, I believe, by the Padres. Russell Sellers with his new hotness column. Glenn Butler's Wednesday walk around the web. Sellers Points Review, Batman versus Robin. Bayless's Raw Rundown. JR, Monday. Kevin Kelly Show, who'd you have?
We had Matt Taven on half of the IWGP Tag Team Champions with Mike Bennett. That was excellent. A great interview. We talked a lot of basketball, too.
Excellent, excellent. And also today, and please check this out, along with everything else, We did a great column last week about the What If, so we did a What If pay-per-view title change switches. But this multi-episode, I guess you could say, or multi-column series that the staff's doing, PTBN's Real World Champion, taking who the best wrestler in North America was dating back to 1983 and going year by year. Last week, 1983 to 1988 was posted, and then today, 1989 to 1994. And wow, it is a fantastic piece. Breaks down why this person was the guy in North American wrestling. Check it out. Unbelievable job. PTBN's Real World Champion. But of course, we cannot talk PlaceToBeNation.com without pimping the greatest wrestling theme song tournament. Gentlemen, we have reached round three. Some really bitching matchups here. This is where we start to gnash some teeth. Let's go through the we are in the Venice Beach region. Round three.
I prefer to haul my teeth.
So let's first of all, I'd rather outsiders my teeth. Some matchups here. And I didn't realize how many great themes are in this region. Unbelievable. JD.
They're all Rick Rudes.
Yeah, well, that too.
They JD. Are the Green Day of this tournament.
Yes.
Yeah, right?
The difference is we like Rude. All right. JD, the number one seed, Real American. And Rick Rude's Smooth Operator.
It could be either the real version or the Rotella version from the last.
Yes.
Oh, in that case. No, I feel like this is maybe this is how we pay back Glenn Butler for all the great things he's done for the website, because I think Real American is just on a steady march to victory here.
Okay.
So.
Scoliosis Rotella.
When it comes crashing down and it curves your spine.
That is great. It's so great.
Oh my god.
And right now it's dominating like he does inside certain establishments. It is beating
Spina Bifida.
it's beating Smooth Operator 129-17. So it's
I mean, Smooth Operator is awesome. It had a run, but you're not going to be Real American.
No. JR, I'm going to give you this one because it's your boy, Kurt Angle, or Rick Rude's WWF theme.
Another tough one. Rude has had some awesome themes, very underrated or forgotten. Mm. I mean, when you look at his run here, but I mean, Kurt's is just iconic. They're both great. It's a real tough matchup, but I'll vote Kurt.
You vote Kurt, okay. And right now, he is leading Rude 108-42.
Okay, a little bit further than I thought. I thought it'd be a little tighter than that.
Mr. Willie.
Yes.
The corporate ministry theme or Cena's Thugonomics theme.
Yeah.
Nothing beats a ministry.
I'm gonna go with the corporate ministry.
Yeah,
just
attaboy. How do you not? It's awesome. Ooh,
that's a tough one though.
Guess what, JR?
I know it's tight. It was tight this morning.
That son of a bitch. He's even ruining this tournament. Cena's leading 77-72.
Oof. Let's go. Get those votes for the ministry. Corporate ministry.
I haven't looked at the third round yet.
That song deserves to be in the next round.
Okay. Greeny, I'm not forgetting you, but I got to give this one to JR because I want to Nash his. I want him to haul Nash and Hogan his teeth.
I'm going to X-Pac my teeth right now.
X-Pac your teeth. Slick or the Brood?
I wanted to punch a hole in the wall. And the reason is I hate all you assholes that helped seed this thing. I gave the Brood like a 10 rating. And some of you guys must have really ranked it low to get it as low as it was. And now it's stuck in this matchup here. I mean, you gotta go Jive Soul, bro, but the Brood is getting screwed.
Not fair to Brood.
It's not. It's not at all.
Screwed Brood.
I mean, Gangrel's, and I mean, if you're really factoring in entrances,
it's pretty awesome.
I mean, it probably deserves to move on just because it's so freaking good. But I mean, Jive Soul, bro, is just iconic.
94-54. Slick is winning at the moment. All right. Ooh. Great one here, Mr. Willie. Battle of former Intercontinental Champions, Ultimate Warrior, or Mr. Perfect?
Ooh.
That's tough.
That is tough. I will lean towards Ultimate Warrior because of the iconic character, but I love the Mr. Perfect theme.
I feel like
my personal preference, but I think that the vote has to go to Ultimate Warrior.
I feel like you could vote for Mr. Perfect and then just vote for the Rockers theme.
Yes.
Yeah. Kind of,
I think the Rockers may be out already.
Yeah, this is really closer than I. This isn't as close as I thought. Warrior right now winning 92-57. I thought this would be a little closer. Let's see. JD, Rude's unbelievably awesome WCW theme or Regal's theme, which I think this is the heel theme. But
like the Star Wars sounding thing. I'm going to be just bitter about this one, and I'm going to vote for Rick Rude.
Yes.
Because, and here's why. Because
the song's awesome.
Because William Regal's theme beat Sami Zayn's in the last round, and Sami Zayn's Yeah, Sami Zayn's theme is so good.
Well, and I'm
Regal's song's pretty awesome, though.
Yeah, but like I bought the Sami Zayn theme song. I just listen to it like in the car like almost every day. I love that song. And Rude it's so fun to listen to.
Rude beat my
I got it too.
Yeah, I had a tough one here because Rude's WCW theme beat Triple H's 2000 theme, which is one of my favorites ever. So
Rude's WCW theme is awesome too, and he needs at least one. He has three great songs, and he needs at least one to make it to the next round.
Looks like he's gonna make make it here. He's leading Regal 106-41. So, ooh, Greeny, Evolution, or LOD's WWF theme.
You know, when you hear that, oh, what a rush, that just gets your blood pumping. But last year, after hearing it a couple more times, Evolution's song is so freaking great.
I concur.
Evolution, all the way.
Also closer than I thought, 94-56. It looks like Evolution should move on. Finally, JR, Punk's Cult of Personality, or a song that actually somebody at in the City Field parking lot was blasting Tuesday night when Scoliosis there and I went to the Mets Braves game. that's his wrestling name, by the way.
Scoliosis Silverback.
Yeah, the Scoliosis.
Is he a luchador?
Who are you to doubt Scoliosis?
Until the parka outfit, the curb spine.
The silver crooked back.
The silver crooked. So Punk's Cult of Personality or Austin's Disturbed version of this theme.
They're both really good, but Austin's going to get his other song probably pretty far. So we'll go with Punk. We'll go Cult Personality.
All right. And Punk's winning comfortably 110-40. So there you go. Keep voting.
What if this was like 1990? What year was that song big? 2000?
Like
that was 2000 into 2001.
Yeah, that was his theme right when he came back at Unforgiven 2000 or even No Mercy.
The vote total would be completely reversed because that music was so in style at that point.
Yeah. Yep.
So there you go. Keep voting. In the greatest wrestling theme song tournament, the round three regions will continue to be posted. PlaceBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. All right, let's dive back into Extreme Rules. How are you today? Pleasure to meet you at the event. How you doing, Mikey? It's been a while.
Hey, dog. I'm doing well. Good to be here. Just reading this Star Trek piece by this Glenn Butler. Not a fan, dog. Not a fan. I prefer Star Wars.
Oh, come on, Mike. We like Glenn. Glenn's great. Star Trek, you know, space. Deep Space Nine. Please, thing doesn't move. You know, strange aliens with weird heads. Come on, Mikey. Come on. It's really good.
Dog, we got a lot going on in the world of wrestling right now. We got Extreme Rules coming up. Roman Reigns, Dolph Ziggler going in there. Who do you like in that main event with the...
You mean Orton? Orton? Randy Orton? Orton? That Orton guy?
What's his name? The Russian guy. What's his name?
Oh, Rusev, yeah.
Oh, Rusev, yeah, Rusev. I like Rusev. I was sitting with Parcells over the weekend. We're big Rusev guys, big into Lana, and I think Rusev's going to take this one.
Lana, she's hot. She's really hot. Really hot, Mikey.
All right, dog, let's take some calls. Yeah. We got the lines are lit up.
Let's go.
Let's see here. We're going to bring in, we got Jason in the car. Jason, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
All right, Jason.
Hey, question for you. I recently got one of your authentic megaphones with your autograph. I just wanted to test it out. Hey, what kind of batteries do I need on this thing?
All right, get this guy out of here. You know, these guys call in. They think this is, we're here to talk sports. We're here to talk about the Mets and the, the classless Jets and the Yankees. I mean, this guy's calling it about batteries. What are you calling it about batteries for? Probably we got to talk about sports.
It's all right. It's all right. Jeez. Just batteries. Probably double A's. I would say double A's.
Dog.
Probably double A's. Let's get a call here. Let's go. Steve's calling from Wauwatosa. Steve, welcome to Mike and the
Magic. Hey there. Hey there. How's it going there, E?
You got your Aaron Rodgers throwback on. Aaron Rodgers.
Got my throwback on. I got my Clay Matthews, my long hair on. And hey guys, I was wondering, can I be a guest on your show at some point? You know, I got some good thoughts. I got some good thoughts on stuff.
We got to ask Eddie. Mikey, ask Eddie Scuteri. We got to ask Eddie. Eddie.
I'm a dog. I'm not wasting my time with this guy. He's next. Hand wave this guy out of here. All right, we got one more call here.
Well,
we got to take a break. Let's go to, who's this? We have, what's this guy? We got JD in Detroit. JD, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Big fan.
Rip Hamilton throwback. You're wearing rip.
Yeah, well, it's ripped, but... Anyways, hey, I got a quick question for you here. I tweeted at Mark Merrow and he didn't reply. Do you guys know if he still has any bad blasters?
Mark Merrow, is he still alive, dog? I didn't see Merrow in a long time.
Didn't he win Golden Gloves, Mikey? Didn't you talk to him at the Garden that night? He won the Golden Gloves. Golden Gloves, yes.
Well, I mean, you want to talk boxing, we can talk all the greats all day long. Merrow, though... You know, Merrow wasn't Merrow until he became Merrow, dog. You know, once Merrow became Merrow is when he got to be Merrow. And once he became Merrow, then he was Merrow. You know what I mean?
I tell you, Mikey, he won the Gold Gloves. Remember we interviewed him? Two chores?
He's not Merrow, though, unless he's Merrow. Once he's Merrow, that's when he's Merrow.
Exactly.
Mark Merrow.
I agree, Mikey. You know, you win the Golden Gloves, that's what happens.
All right, we got one more call, dog. We got time for one more. That was a quick one. We got Chad in Kennesaw. Chad, what's going on?
Hi, fellas. Big fan here. I got a basketball question for you. I'm a big Hawks fan, but how do you pronounce it? Is it Cephalosha? Cephalosha? How do you say it?
That's the guy for the Hawks, dog.
Yes, Mike.
He's not. Look, Merrow's Merrow.
Forward?
Yeah. Merrow's Merrow. Cephalosha.
Yeah. I think he's power forward.
Hawks are going to choke. Awful fan base down there, dog. Atlanta, nothing going on.
Yeah, they don't sell out their Survivor Series, Division Series, whatever. They don't sell out.
Dead sports town. All right, let's take a break, dog. We'll be back after this.
WFAN. That was for you, JR. They came in about 3 hours ago and said,
man, who's next? I
tell you.
Jake's daughter?
Oof. I don't know, but...
Maybe we could hook her up with Wesley Mayo.
You know, speaking of...
Throwback Thursday here.
Speaking of throwbacks, I know... I don't know if... I know you might have been watching it, JD, but Greeny, Saturday on the stream was that Giants... the Giants DVD. Not New York Giants. Not your Giants, Mikey. But the Giant wrestlers. And the Giant Gonzalez piece... it seemed like every picture he's dancing with women in bars, and I felt Careless Whisper in my head the whole time. Seriously, I thought Bruno was gonna start humming it when he's narrating the piece. He was dancing with these girls in my queen size bed. Okay, he'll never come back on the show, except when it snows.
Giant Gonzalez throwback. That would be a good jersey to wear,
right? Also, that'd be a Hawks Gonzalez jersey. We're gonna get that.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
The back just says queen size bed. Okay.
I'm going to go to those custom made.
Oh, God. All right.
My Bryce Cotton Jazz jersey and my Jorge Gonzalez Atlanta Hawks jersey.
Got to find a good. Got to find Chad's Goldberg Georgia Bulldogs jersey. That's what he's got. All right. Let's go back to Chicago.
JD's Roman Reigns Georgia Tech jersey.
Georgia Tech. Except it doesn't have rain. So, yes, find it if it has reins on the back, because that's exactly what his name was when he was.
I bought it because I thought it was for Luther Reigns. But...
The reins, Cole! The
reins, Cole!
Off the chain!
It's a rocket buster! All right. Let's dive into this, because this is real discussion, because it's one of the most bizarre stories in the company right now. Our Intercontinental Championship at the moment is on the line. Daniel Bryan, who won it in the pretty entertaining ladder match at WrestleMania, taking on the former champion, Bad News Barrett. But we're being told that Daniel Bryan's out for, first it was 4 weeks, then it was 5 weeks. But before we found anything about weeks, there was, you know, 3-4 days worth of diagnostics or something. So bizarre, so cloak and dagger. JD, what's going to happen Sunday? Is Bad News Barrett going to walk out? Is there going to be a belt forfeit? What the hell's going to happen? What do you think?
You know what I think would be kind of cool? And we've discussed this in some of our chats and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to have to strip Brian of the belt. I mean, I didn't watch every second. No mention of him on Monday Night Raw that I saw. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong there, but I don't think they talked about him. But I don't think they'll just give Barrett the belt. You know what I think would be cool is if Neville came out and challenged him for it. Why not, you know? I mean, it seems like the Daniel Bryan plan may have hit another bump in the road that's they're going to have to reevaluate what they really can do with this guy going forward. And so why not go with someone else completely out of nowhere, you know? I would love it if Barrett comes out, claims the belt, and says if there's any – kind of does the Cena open challenge thing, only he loses because Bad News Barrett loses all the time, you know. But why not throw it on Neville, you know? What a cool way to kickstart him.
I mean, they did it with Carlito on both shows, won the U.S. title and IC belt.
Yeah, I mean, and Neville's not on the show, and, you know, he's on Raw, but he doesn't have any storylines right now, so why not? Hmm. I guess it all depends on how severe the Brian thing is, because like you said, Cloak and Dagger, it's kind of like, is it a concussion? No, it's not a concussion. 5 weeks now we're hearing, and all this crazy stuff. Who knows? They might not even know. So if it's really could be something serious, then I think they'll probably take the belt off of him this week. If they think they can get him back in 2 weeks, then they might just do like an angle where he's laid out and they don't have the match. And, you know, in a couple weeks, he comes back for his revenge or right. something. I don't know.
What do you think?
It's a bummer, though.
What do you think, Greeny?
I'm totally on board with the Neville thing. What I would do is don't strip him. Well, yeah, strip him, but don't give it to Barrett. Just have Barrett come out saying that he is not going to leave Chicago without getting a fight. Bring out Neville. Let them tear the house down for like 20 minutes. Barrett goes over. But then what they do the following night is they announce an IC tournament. Have Neville win the tournament. Mm.
That's cool, too. Mm,
I like that idea. JR, this is 2 years in a row now that Daniel Bryan will have to have a belt stripped. Have we? Who's on the wrong here? But in this now almost 2 year war between the company and the fans involving Daniel Bryan, they've tried to do something. They tried to do the right thing. He won the world title last year. This year he won something, but now both times, you know, it's had to be taken away from him because of injury. Are we at the point now where it's like, all right? We know y'all love him, but I mean, come on. It's two straight years. He's just one of the roster. Is this finally ended this like battle between the company and the fans over this guy?
First of all, I think they should do a ladder match at Extreme Rules. R-Truth, the amp. No, I mean, I don't know if it ends the war. I think everyone's pretty much accepted. I mean, yeah, I think when you see him get hurt again, you can kind of see whether it was their intent or not, maybe what they were thinking. And I don't see how fans could get angry again to the point that he's not getting pushed to the level we wanted to see, knowing that, okay, this guy got hurt again. And not even for the sake of the company, for the sake of him. Like, I don't even know if I want him to come back. You know, like, for his own health, for his own safety. I'd love to see him. I'd hate to see him go. But if he's going to be constantly missing time and being banged up and hurting his quality of life, I don't want to see that. Mm. Leave the memories alone. But he...
Leave Daniel alone.
Leave the memories alone. But it depends. I mean, if it's a concussion and he gets checked out and he's cleared and everything's good, you give him a month and a half off and he comes back, okay. But I mean, if it's anything more than that and they're just covering, you know, if it's his neck or he's losing feeling in his arms again, then he's going to go. But I don't think I'd take the title off him yet. I think I'd maybe, since it's only the IC belt, I feel like it's better on him, even with him not wrestling for a month, than getting hot potatoed around again. Mm-hmm.
But I think they have to, if they aren't planning on take the belt off him, they have to do something. Because like I said, on Raw, he just wasn't even there. You know, they can't just not have him be there.
Well, they've teased that they don't know his status or whatever, right? Mm. So that's been the storyline. So he can come out and just say, look, I'm hurt. I'll give you your title match as soon as I'm ready. And then Barrett can attack him. And that can explain why he's out.
And I think if we see something like that where Barrett lays him out, I think that will kind of be telling of how
– right.
how legit this is to them, because if they're really concerned, he's not going to get touched.
Well, they could do the old, he's just laying in the back.
Yeah.
You know, the camera show in the back and he's laid out.
Also, if they do strip him, isn't giving a belt to somebody like Neville a nice consolation prize for the fans who wanted to see this belt elevated again. And
but I feel like it wouldn't be elevated, Greeny. I feel like if Neville gets it, it's just going to get forgotten again. I feel like unless Brian's out more than like a month, I think you just leave it on him because I think he's the guy to keep it elevated. Mm-hmm. As cool as it would be, I just don't think it's built up enough yet to mean much for Neville to win it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Neville comes out and beats Cena for the U.S. title, that's something else.
Okay,
but,
yeah.
You know what I mean? But if you have him just win the IC belt from Barrett, I feel like it's just not like, I don't know. I feel like we need more time of Brian reestablishing it. Like, we haven't gotten there yet as far as we could.
Mm-hmm. So we all feel there'll be a match?
No, I don't think there'll be. Well,
I don't think Daniel Bryan versus Wade Barrett will happen.
No, definitely not.
No.
But I could see Barrett having a match with somebody.
Yeah, because you take this slot out. You've got 1, 2, 7 matches, or 6 matches, and, I mean, other than the main event, I can't see any of the other ones trying to be longer than 12, 13 minutes. I mean, maybe. Maybe Dean and Harper.
Roman and Big Show are going Broadway, fellas.
They're going to wait. They're going to let the match keep going on and on and on until Big Show gets cheered. So it could be Sean Hunter, Bad Blood 04 going 40-something minutes.
Hey, Punk will take Brian's place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they probably can't do an open challenge in Chicago for that reason.
Yeah, the place. Yeah, it would get ugly. All right, let's go to our other secondary title match scheduled. The WWE United States Championship on the line. John Cena, Rusev for the third consecutive show. This time a Russian chain match, which is a typical gimmick for babyfaces to win. I really wish they'd brought back the Koloffs. Where is Nikita right now? Willie. Has Rusev plateaued? Is this good for him? How do you feel he's been in these few weeks since Mania?
Boy, the iconic, not really iconic, but the big image from last week with him putting the chain around John Cena's nose was probably one of my favorite things in wrestling in the last month. I don't think that he has peaked. I think his peak is yet to come. This match is unfortunate because I can't see Rusev winning it. I've tried to think of ways that he could win it this past week, but there's two things going against him. One, which you already said, Russian chain matches, especially the way that they have the rules set up where you get to touch all four corners, typically a face victory. Secondly, this open challenge has been probably one of the highlights, if not the highlight, of the Raw since WrestleMania, where you've had Cena defending unique matchups, and that has not peaked yet. There's still plenty to go. They haven't reached, they haven't really built to a crescendo yet with that, which would seem to be putting someone over, whether it's Neville or not. That would seem to be where they would go, as eventually he's going to lose to someone in these open challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm just kind of disappointed in this booking. I wish it just didn't happen and have Rusev built up to go face something else, build him back up to, maybe go for the heavyweight championship at some point.
Mm. JR, what do you think?
I think we're going to get a bunch of stuff accomplished in this match. I think we're going to start to slowly reestablish Rusev despite the loss, because I think what's going to happen is we're going to get some kind of involvement from Lana again, because that was a big story of Mania. Rusev showed compassion. I think maybe he does it again and she costs him. He ends up getting, reverse of what happened to Cena on Raw. Cena wraps the chain around Rusev's face and he passes out. So he loses, but he doesn't lose. So he looks valiant in losing, doesn't pass out. And he was trying to save Lana. So you almost kind of start to look at him as, he's not a bad guy. And then the next night, I think he just kicks Lana to the curb and dumps her. And then I think Cena, I think we do end the open challenges the night after Extreme Rules next Monday. I think Cena loses because he's so beat up from the chain match that someone answers the bell and is able to beat him. And that way they have Cena lose that match. You put someone over. But Cena, you can explain it that he's a little banged up from the chain match. And I think you kind of protect both guys that way. They seem like they want to split Lana off anyway, so you can get that done. And then we move along finally with Rusev onto something else.
Mm. Yeah. JD?
I'm with Steve. I kind of wish this match didn't happen. I think it's kind of a victim to their mentality of feuds have to have 3 matches on pay-per-view now. Every feud has to have 3 pay-per-view matches, and it's like that's how they approach every story. And the story kind of could have ended at WrestleMania. And, you know, I think Rusev losing again, you know, everything JR said could work, but a lot of people are just going to see it as Cena won again, you know, and you can put all the bells and whistles on it, but some people aren't going to be able to see past that and just see it as Cena winning again. I don't know. I don't know if Cena would lose the next night. That seems awful quick, you know, they made a t-shirt with him holding with the U.S. title belt on his shirt. So I don't know. That's pretty soon for him to lose. But I do think the bigger story going forward with Cena is the open challenge. And someone's going to answer the open challenge, and that'll be who it is. I think with Rusev, though, I think there is some danger in him losing a feud. Losing a match, you know, that's one thing. Losing a feud, there's some danger there. I think you can wipe that all away if you have him win Money in the Bank in June, though. I think he would be probably the best option to win Money in the Bank coming up in June. You know, just to kind of have him kill some guys for a couple weeks and then get the briefcase. That's what I would do with him. But yeah, Cena's going to win this match.
Okay. Greeny?
I haven't said this in a long time about a John Cena feud, but I don't want to see this feud end. I have loved every minute of it.
Hmm.
I agree. I think it was Steve that said that Cena's going to wrap the chain around Rusev and Rusev will pass out. That's how I see it ending. Rusev, I think, will win Money in the Bank going down the road. So just for the next month, just have him beat the shit out of somebody different every Monday night. Going forward and get him ready for bigger things. And I forget who said it before too, but Rusev has not peaked yet. This is not even the start.
Mm. Who said that was it you, Willie, that said Lana gets dumped, or was it you, JR?
It's Justin.
Yeah, it was me.
You say, do you think she gets dumped Monday or?
I think they're going to do that on Monday.
Okay.
I do, yeah. Okay. I think she costs him the match or not directly cost him, but indirectly. I think they play up the compassion thing again, that he again tries to save her, and now
she's been
done.
Involved in both.
What about something
so far,
like her? Yeah. What about something like her throwing a towel in or something?
I was just thinking that kind of thing. Yeah. Hmm.
Oh yeah, that could work too. Yeah, he chokes him out the chain, and she throws a towel in.
Because there's towels. She showed compassion. Yeah, because there's towels underneath the ring, and by the announce table, she can find one and just throw it in the ring.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
You guys are convincing me to go to Raw the following night.
Where is it?
Talk me out of it. It's in Green Bay. It's literally
Justin,
on my way home from work.
Oh.
Justin, you think Cena's going to lose the next night. Who do you think he'll lose it to? Anyone specific?
Neville?
I mean, I wanted to go crazy and say Finn Balor, because I think that's the guy that maybe eventually beats him. So maybe that's credence to it's too soon. I don't know who. I don't think anyone on the current roster. I don't know. Would you waste like Bray Wyatt?
Well, aren't they getting Bray ready for Ryback? Isn't that
the next thing going on? I'm just trying to think of someone that could use him. I've never seen Bray.
I'll tell you what. I enjoyed that Cena Stardust match from a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, I think Balor is a good choice or someone from NXT.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then I think you got
Joe Rawley.
You got to keep. Oh my god.
I love when you could just hear Steve's heart break in his voice.
Yeah. Bull Dempsey? Oh, I'd love to see Bull Dempsey.
I mean, the ultimate internet smark, awesome. Right? Samoa Joe. I mean, I don't think
that's not going to happen.
But if you do something like Balor, you're going to have to keep the open challenge going in a couple months.
Yeah, for a while.
If Joe is coming in, I can't see them not doing Joe and Owens.
They should have Sting come out and Cena squash him.
I do feel like Neville is kind of like a fit because he's been answering open challenges.
Right.
Meanwhile, Cena's got an open challenge every week. So I don't know if he's the one to win it, but I could see that being a match sometime in the near future.
Okay. So we all pretty comfortably think Cena will retain the belt. All right. Let's go to the main event. The steel cage match for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Your champion, of course, Seth Rollins, cashed in at Money in the Bank at WrestleMania, taking on Randy Orton. Kane is the gatekeeper. Who is the keymaster? Who gets to play Gozer or Vince Clortho or whichever guy was the keymaster?
There is no Stephanie, only Zool.
Who's the games master?
Kevin Sullivan. And Orton can't use the RKO, which I think is a stupid extra step that's unnecessary.
This should be more about Ticketmaster than the gatekeeper.
Yes. I think most of us think Rollins is going to retain. How good could this match? What potential does this match have? JR, I'll start with you. What potential does this match have to be match of the night?
I think it has potential to be great and definitely the match of the night. For sure.
Mm. J Did he?
Yeah, I agree.
Mm. I mean, like a 4-star max, I'd say. I don't think it could be like ever like a 5-star match.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. I think it could.
I don't know about match of the night because I really think Dean Ambrose and Luke Harper is going to be awesome. Mm-hmm.
If the booking allows them to be.
Right. Yeah. Willie?
Rollins is going to win, but I'm sorry, I got cut off here. Can you repeat the question as well?
How good do you think the match?
Yeah, could this conceivably be match of the night? Does it have the
basically what's the ceiling of the match?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say too. Yeah, what's the ceiling? 4 stars? Could it be 4 stars?
Like a 3.5 type star match. Okay. I think there's going to be too much stuff with Kane and J&J security going on to make it really come out and be like an outstanding 1-on-1 matchup.
Mm. Okay, Greeny.
Yeah, there's too many wild cards going on in the match. I'd say 3.5 stars at the most. I mean, we saw how good their chemistry was at WrestleMania. It's going to be a fantastic match, but there's just too many wild cards going on the outside. Mm.
Too much story, not enough match, basically.
You
think?
Yeah, I think this could conceivably. I mean, I'm a mark for cage matches anyway, but this conceivably could have a good a 4-star feel to it, I think.
I mean, I think we all think Rollins is going to win. Do we all think is there any chance he wins clean?
No.
No.
No, I'm sure Kane will. I'm sure Kane
the Kane stuff is going to.
I hope we don't see a Big Show run in. That would be a mess. I'd like to think that Reigns incapacitates him to the point where we don't have to see him again. So.
Why are people popping for Kane? I mean, did anyone see that last week? Like,
you know what's
turning
crazy?
On the authorities? That like blew my mind.
That interview where he got up in Rollins' face was actually pretty darn good. He was pretty mm-hmm. intense in it. And, mm-hmm. you know, like some nice backstory where he said, I'm the one that handed you the briefcase.
Yes.
That's going all the way back to last June.
But I'm sure if I feel like if Kane in this iteration hadn't been around for 18 years as Kane,
right?
Like we'd like him a little bit better. Like he's in pretty good shape. He's working, you know, pretty hard. I think everyone's just burnt out on him. That's mm-hmm. the problem.
Yeah, it was a cool one moment pop thing, you know. Yeah.
The strangest thing about Kane saying that is that the only person who has mentioned that plot point since it happened was Jon Stewart when he was on with Rollins on that show. So
they should do like a flashback to that episode of Raw and show Kane backstage going, "Hey, wait a minute, he's right." Yeah.
Any surprises? Anything? I mean, obviously not Punk. That's, but I mean, anything, JD, anything that could happen that could make this show memorable?
From that match?
No,
or,
in general.
Or overall?
Overall.
I really could see Dean Ambrose just doing something insanely stupid. Mm-hmm. You know, like diving headfirst off of something, honestly.
Right.
Okay. Other than that, not really.
Not really? No. Willie?
I want to see Lucha Luke Harper. See Luke do some crazy flying thing.
Maybe he's Kalisto under the mask.
Yes, he is.
Imagine how he puts a mask with his beard coming out underneath it. Nobody understands. Nobody knows why.
Kalisto Duke.
You know what they do? Whatever they do with the Bryan Barrett situation, you know that could be some sort of. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's gonna be a major surprise, but it could be, you know, something that is at least intriguing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, JD. I mean, Greeny?
Adding some blood to the Cena Rusev match would be pretty sweet, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
I actually think that it might. I mean, they've been doing more and more of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm.
And
lately.
Cena's the kind of guy that's got the
he can know, do it.
Got the cred to be able.
Yeah, I can see.
I can
well,
blow
yeah.
back from it.
Yeah, JR, do we see blood in the chain match?
Yeah, I mean, I think we could. If there's any match that's going to happen, it would be that one.
Mm. Okay. All right.
Maybe the cage, too. Maybe Orton would bleed.
Yeah, possibly.
Maybe New Day.
Not bad. So there is your...
Really racist.
Oh, sorry.
Here's
we not bleed.
I was going to say something I'm not going to. All right, here is your... There's your Extreme Rules preview. And, of course, come here to placemanation.com. We'll have our live blog. I'll be on. I'm sure JR, some of the other guys, will hop in and out, and we'll have a good time with it. So that'll be coming up on Sunday night. A couple news and notes. Fill the rest of our time out here. Looks like coming out of the TV tapings tonight, here is what the mostly official, somewhat unofficial card is for the May 20th NXT TakeOver special.
Okay.
Why, you don't...
Time for Steve to mute.
Hold on a second.
Why, you don't want to hear him?
Nope. Let me know when you're done. Oh, God. Go ahead.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. Okay. Looks like...
Let's talk about Steve. Do you guys really like Steve?
No.
What a prick.
Not really. He thinks he's the baby. Conscience, but God, all he does is whine. Looks like Sami Zayn will get his NXT title rematch with Kevin Owens.
Cool.
Sasha Banks will defend the women's title against Becky Lynch.
Nice.
Blake and Murphy will defend the tag straps against Enzo and Big Cass.
Hell yeah, my boys.
Emma will take on Bayley. A triple threat match. I don't know if this is for anything. Hideo Itami, Finn Balor, Tyler Breeze.
Huh?
That should be interesting.
Maybe number one contenders?
Yeah, possibly. And then Rhino and Baron Corbin.
Oh, yeah.
I think that could be an ugly car wreck. so. Okay, watch this, guys. Okay. All right, Stevie there.
Yep, I'm here.
Okay.
I can't believe that match.
I can't believe
so Owens. Kevin Owens defending the title against... Oh, no. All right, so there you go. So there's your...
I can't believe Lex Luger's back in NXT.
Oh, thank goodness.
And he's a heel.
He'll be Kevin Owens versus night. Kevin McCallum.
He's going to slam Kevin Owens on the Intrepid.
The Intrepid. On the Concorde, which is parked next to the Intrepid right now. okay.
Be a lot easier to shove Bobby Heenan out of the way, though, this time.
He's going to slam him on a Dodge Intrepid. Budget cutbacks.
Oh, my God. So there you go. So that'll be on May 20th. Is it okay to give you the date, Willie? You're not going to...
That's against my wife's birthday, so... I probably won't be watching. It'll be spoiled for me anyway. So son of a gun. It's one of my few joys in life is for watching NXT without without being spoiled.
That is true. So there you go. All right. So for those that listened, there you go. I want to read one story. Oh, here we go. This seems eerily familiar. This is a news story to what was going on in Philadelphia in 2000. Talk of pay issues within TNA continue as the Wrestling Observer, we know who that is, has confirmed details originally broke by Brian Fritz of Sporting News. As of this past weekend, TNA's production crew were more than 2 months late on pay. They had not been paid for the February pay-per-view tapings or any events since then. To add to that, workers received pay in April for the January UK tour, which was almost 70 days late, when they're supposed to be paid within 30 days. Not only were those checks issued late, they were shorted by an average of $1,000 a person.
That's not bad.
To make things worse, production found out that TNA talents were finally being paid for the March tapings, while production hadn't been paid for February yet. TNA had similar pay issues in 2014, that were more significant, but one production worker noted that this is the third year in a row where there were issues at one point or another with late payments. While they have dealt with the late payments before, being shorted on a check is a new problem and likely was a big morale killer.
Come on, guys. It's all scripted. This isn't even legitimate. This is all TNA's the heel. We're supposed to hate them, shorting people their money.
The Rising.
I can't wait for production to get their big win.
It's all scripted.
Drew Galloway is going to lead him on.
You know, back in the territory days, man, everybody got paid. Everybody got the pay win.
It's an age thing, guys.
Yeah, everybody got.
Drew Galloway, is he in TNA now?
Yes, he is. Yeah.
Oh, because Scott just told us he's facing Kevin Owens at NXT. Oh.
Guys, everywhere.
Oh, God. All right.
Listen, guys, back when me and Scott were watching this stuff, we expected the guys to get paid, but whatever. It's
everybody's
a different time.
Everybody's lined up in the pay window. Oh, speaking of pay window. Greeny, you mentioned earlier today there was a picture out of Dusty and Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. He's old. What do you want?
Yeah, that's true.
What do you think you look like?
What? You look like a bag of shit. No. Okay. So, all right. Well, that'll just about wrap up this edition of the main event. Mr. Willie, Mr. Duncan, pleasure as always. Good to have you back. Greeny, thank you. What's the Islander cap score right now?
I believe that is over. I think it was 5-1. I got the Blackhawks game on now. Ooh.
So the Isles have to go back to the Mausoleum for game 6, trailing 3-2. Yes. JR, how are the Celtics doing against Cleveland? Do you have that on?
They lost.
Oh, so they're down 3 games tonight.
That's 3-0, yep.
Yeah. Bulls are up 8 in overtime here.
Double overtime right now.
A double overtime, yeah. That's correct.
Ooh. And so there we go. So, JR, I will talk to you next week for our next Vintage Vault 2004 Great American Bash.
We're going
to
do some Great American Bashing.
Which, by the way, also had a sort of chain match. It was a bull rope match. So.
Yeah, I watched it today. We'll have some things to say.
Yes. We also had the first handicap match main event since King of the Ring 99. So, for JR, JD, Greeny, and C. Willie, I'm Scott Criscolo. You're in the main event, whether it's on or it's not. Willie may miss it. Willie may not miss it. Have a good 2 weeks.
Just don't spoil it.
Willie or Loney.
So, guys, back in 2004, I mailed Justin Credible my my ECW N64 game to have him sign it. You think I should tweet him to ask him where it is?
We switched the P.O. box.
What are you going to do now? Send your underwear next time? Get this guy out of here.
Shut up, Terminator 3.